Dominic Chianese was nominated for an Emmy last year for his role as Uncle Junior in The Sopranos. You might remember him for his performance in Godfather 2 as Johnny Ola. Chianese is also a singer. He has a new CD called Hits, which features Italian and American songs, including a couple of originals. Terry spoke with him last year. On The Sopranos, Uncle Junior is often at odds with his nephew Tony Soprano, with Junior representing the old way of doing things. Junior has even taken out a hit on Tony, which failed. Here's a scene from the final episode of this past season. Uncle Junior is talking with Tony, played by James Gandolfini. Junior has just been released from house arrest.
Well, Bobby says you're out from under the house arrest. Congratulations.
A lawyer was finally able to demonstrate I don't pose a flight risk. Flight risk. I've been farting into the same sofa cushion for the last 18 months. Your RICO trial's coming up, though.
At least you're out. Then you're eating regular food again.
An illness changed my whole viewpoint. I'm gonna stop and smell the roses.
We all should.
Dominic Chianese, welcome to Fresh Air.
It's so nice. Aria fresca.
Let's talk a little bit about your role on The Sopranos.
Sure.
Why don't you describe your character?
Okay, he's grouchy, tunnel vision kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very opinionated about certain things, and he's kind of a likable guy in a lot of ways, and he has some funny expressions sometimes.
Now, in your role as Uncle Junior, you wear these big black plastic rectangular eyeglasses.
Yes.
I think those eyeglasses really change your look. It changes your face. It changes your eyes.
Yeah, it does, and that's very important, as you know, film. You know, no, it really does. And to me, I love them because they're a mask, and I don't think I can do Uncle Junior without them now. They're really a part of his mystique.
Is there a character who Uncle Junior reminds you of in real life who you can draw on to create Uncle Junior?
Yes, definitely. There are people in my own family who had great senses of humor, funny lines, and they were just natural comedians. And there were a load in my neighborhood, people like that, including my own father. My father, once in a while, would throw a line out, you know, that would be quite funny, sotto voce kind of, you know, deadpan kind of thing. You get that a lot, in Italian American culture. I noticed that a lot with uncles and things.
What kind of neighborhood did you grow up in?
I grew up in that kind of very working-class neighborhood in the Bronx, on Arthur Avenue, where there was everybody, the butcher, the bakers, the candlestick makers, the doctors, the lawyers. But most of the people were plasterers, bricklayers, store owners, you name it.
Did you grow up thinking that there were a lot of wise guys in the neighborhood?
Well, I didn't have to think about it. You'd see them hanging out in the corners. They had hats and... My father would point them out to me. Those are racketeers, he would call them, because I'd ask, They're racketeers. That's all he would say. Yeah, they're racketeers. And I figured they were shooting crap in the streets, shooting dice. But when I was a little boy, you could see police cars stop sometime near the public school, and you're on the way to school, and all these guys would be running away from this unmarked police car. People would be chasing them down the street. We thought it was part of the neighborhood, because it was illegal to shoot dice in the streets. That's how it was back in the Depression days when I was a baby,
Did they have a look about them that was different from the look of the other mothers and fathers in the neighborhood?
No, they just ran faster than most people. they ran a little faster. They usually were young guys, 18, 19, 20, whoever. Maybe they turned up to be mastermind criminals later on. Who knows?
Now, I want to ask you about one of the episodes of The Sopranos. One of the subplots here, you had a younger girlfriend, and you performed oral sex on her, not on camera, but and that is apparently not something that you're supposed to do if you're an Italian man, according to the Sopranos scripts. So when word gets out that you're doing this, you have to you have to give her up because the whole thing is so embarrassing. What was your reaction to that storyline?
As a character, you mean, or as Dominic?
both, as yourself and as the character.
I saw the humor in it. It's very funny, I think. I was getting a big ribbing from Jimmy. I remember he said, wait, did you read the episode? Yeah, I said, not yet. He said, wait, you read it. He said, he started laughing. And they all teased me. Oh, you're going to love this one, Dominic, All the guys teased me about it. My reaction was that I thought it was beautifully, I thought it was clever, very clever. And yet, as funny as it is, there's a lot of meaning to it, I thought, because Uncle Junior probably, I always wonder why, first of all, he never married, right? I noticed he never married Junior. And that probably his sex life is very, very, very private to him. You know, like most men, I think, Italian men. And she was younger. And I think his pride was probably upset as a man, you know? So my reaction was that it's very good. It's a good gimmick. And he probably would get angry with her because he warned her not to say anything. And I guess he's a bit of a controller. I just think it's very normal, I think. Hey, I'm a good Catholic kid. I can't go into it too deeply.
Were you at all embarrassed by this subplot?
Oh, no. God, no. No, Robin Peterson was such a wonderful actress to work with. God, she was funny. She was great, I thought, you know.
Dominic Chianese, speaking with Terry Gross. He plays Uncle Junior on the HBO series The Sopranos. We'll hear more of their conversation after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back now to our interview with actor Dominic Chianese. He plays Uncle Junior on The Sopranos. The HBO series' new season begins on Sunday.
Now, let's talk about an earlier movie that you were in, Godfather 2, in which you played Johnny Ola, one of Hyman Roth's associates. And he's the guy that Pentangeli describes to Michael Corleone as Hyman Roth's Sicilian messenger boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the guy that Fredo says he was talking to, which tips off Michael that Fredo has been betraying the family by working with Hyman Roth. Would you describe your character of Johnny Ola?
Yeah, Johnny Ola was Hyman Roth's most trusted confidant, and any setups with the Corleone family as far as trying to eliminate them as rivals would come through Johnny, because he knew how to handle Fredo Corleone. He knew that Fredo had a weakness, and he found that weakness, you know, and used jealousy to. Because if you think about Godfather, Fredo was, even says it in the movie. He was bypassed by Pop, by their father, and I think that's something you can always use. You can turn brother against brother with that.
I want to play a scene from Godfather 2, where here you are as Johnny Ola in a restaurant with Michael Corleone, played by Al Pacino.
The casino you're interested in. The registered owners are Jacob Lawrence, Alan Barkley, both Beverly Hills attorneys. The real owners are the old Lakeville Road group from Cleveland and our friend in Miami. Maya Klingman runs the store. He owns a piece of it, too. He does all right. But I've been instructed to tell you that if you move Klingman out, our friend in Miami will go along.
It was very kind of him. You tell him that's greatly appreciated.
Hyman Roth always makes money for his partners. One by one, our old friends are gone. Death, natural or not, prison, deported. Hyman Roth is the only one left, because he always made money for his partners.
And that's Dominic Chianese as Johnny Ola in Godfather 2. How did you get the part of Johnny Ola?
Well, Francis, earlier, before they had done Godfather 1, he called a lot of people down at the Gulf and Western building down on 57th Street, 59th Street, years ago, 1971, I guess, and had a long, maybe a good half-hour conversation with Francis. He was a young filmmaker with just, you know, a few films under his belt and hadn't done Godfather 1 yet. And we discussed for at least a half an hour. He asked me many intimate questions about where I was, how I grew up, was my family from Italy, and which part of Italy they come from. Basically, it was really my first film I had ever done. I'm theater trained. And then I went to Boston to do a play. And my Jeff Hunter called me one time. He said, Dominic, you know, they're interested. Are you interested in coming down to New York to audition for him? They may be interested in you. And I said, no, I really don't. I said, I'm in Boston here with my wife and the kids at the time. I don't want to be in a film, you know. So I turned down The Godfather 1 thing. Later on, I found out through Francis, he was very nice. He said, no, Dominic said, we had you in mind for this part, you know. But I figured I'd use you in case we ever did a sequel. And I said, wow, I'm glad you did, Francis. So looking back, I realized, Terry, that he wanted actors who could play these characters who were, and if these actors were unknown on the film, all the better for, you know, for the realistic look.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that I was just in the right place at the right time. I was just the right age, too. I was 40 when we did Johnny, I think. I did Johnny all the year. And French was a very young man, and Al was a very young man.
How did you get your part on The Sopranos? Had David Chase seen you in The Godfather? I mean, in Godfather 2, was that part of the reason why you were cast?
Oh, no, I imagine that when Georgianne Walken and Sheila Jaffe...
Oh, the casting directors, yeah.
They casting directors, they brought me in, and I'm just the right age for Uncle Junior. And David hadn't known me, and the second callback, I remember, as I was auditioning, I heard this real laugh, you know, like a... kind of a quiet laugh, which I thought was very real. It wasn't a phony kind of thing. Sometimes producers try to relax you, you know, but he really laughed, I could see. And I said, I have a good choice for this. I strictly auditioned, Terry.
What was the audition scene you had to do?
It was that first scene with Nancy Marchand, with Livia, in the car. We had a read about that when I said to her, you know, your son is... We may have to do something about your son. You know, it's funny, but yet it's very... very, very compelling scene, actually. And I didn't read with Nancy, but it was it's an excellent scene. It's the last scene in the episode of the first episode where he's in a car with her and he's casting aspersions on her son and talking about the difference between the old-time mobster and Johnny, her husband, and her son, who seems to be out of hand. He's laying the groundwork to get rid of it. And then, of course, she picks up on it, Livia.
Well, why don't we actually hear that scene?
Oh, that's a great scene, I think, yeah.
It's nice of you to pick me up for the party, Junior. At least somebody cares about me.
These kids today.
I suppose he thinks once he's got me locked in a nursing home, I'll die faster. And then he won't have to drive me anywhere. Well, if his father was still alive, you can bet your boots he'd show more decency and respect for his mother.
My brother John was a man among men.
He was a saint.
Anyway, lots of things are different now from Johnny's in my day.
What do you mean?
I'm not free to run my business like I want.
Oh, isn't that awful?
Just this week, your son stuck his hand in, made it 100 times more difficult for me. Plus, he thumbs his nose at New York.
Oh,
what are you gonna do? He's part of a whole generation. You remember the crazy hair? And the dope? Now it's fags in the military.
Stop it, Junior. You're making me very upset.
I don't like to, Olivia, but I'm all agita all the time. And I'll tell you something else. Things are down, all across the board. A lot of friends of ours are complaining. We used to be recession-proof. No more. You can't blame it all on the Justice Department. Our friends say to me, Junior, why don't you take a larger hand in things? Something may have to be done, Livia, about Tony.
As an actor, what do you like about the writing on The Sopranos?
The connection with a life, they don't seem to ever to have, you know, God forbid, a funny line for the sake of a funny line, or they're well motivated lines. So the subtext is always there for me, and that's a sign of good writing. You know where it's coming from, and the more you think about the line, sometimes you realize, well, there's a better way of doing it too. You know, because it's sort of like those three-dimensional chess games. You know, you're looking at the top, but then there's something underneath, and there's moves you can make down there too. It's that kind of thing about acting that is really challenging to me, Terry, and I think it's. And I think theater trains us to, because if you do a show, let's say you open the show, and then two months later you're halfway into the run, or you're into the run for 2 or 3 months, and you realize, oh my gosh, you know, this is what the character's really saying. It's that kind of organic acting, I think, that the script allows, and that's important, I think.
Dominic Chianese is speaking with Terry Gross last year. He plays Uncle Junior on The Sopranos, which begins its fourth season this Sunday on HBO. Chianese's new CD of Italian and American songs is called Hits. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air.